I'll call this meeting together of the House Committee on Veteran Services and Emergency Preparedness for Tuesday, May 5th. So we have several public hearings today. Is the order all right?
This is the right order.
Okay.
Sir.
So I'm going to open a public hearing on SCR 8A. Mr. Administrator.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, SCR 8A comes to us on behalf of Senator Rosenbaum. It memorializes Oregon State Senator Blaine Whipple.
Very good. You want to step up? Thank you very much.
Chair Lively, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Callie McDermott, and I'm the legislative assistant to Senator Dianne Rosenbaum. She represents Inner Southeast Portland, Milwaukee, and Oak Grove, Oregon. Thanks for the opportunity to testify on behalf of her in support of Senate Concurrent Resolution 8, honoring the life of former State Senator Blaine Whipple. Blaine was born on February 22, 1930, in a log cabin in Martin, South Dakota, on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. He bravely served our nation in the United States Navy, with assignments including public relations for the Military Sea Transportation Service, as well as the editor of the weekly newspaper at Naval Air Station Barbers Point in Oahu. The skills he practiced in the Navy later led him to receive a Master of Science degree from the University of Oregon in Journalism. And political science, making him a lifelong Ducks fan. Blaine and his beloved wife, Ina Steele, married on August 6, 1966, with their children, Judith and Bob, and subsequently their son, Blaine Scott Whipple. Blaine saw politics as a way to accomplish his goals and immersed himself in Democratic Party elections and politics, serving as executive director for the Democratic Party of Oregon, delegate to the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago, and more. He also held many elected offices himself, including Oregon State Senator, Chairperson of the Washington County Intermediate Education District, Chairperson of Tualatin Valley Water District, and Treasurer of Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue. Blaine served on taxation, education, transportation, executive appointments, and local government legislative committees during the 1975 legislative session, and also served as chairperson of the Senate Committee on Local Government and Elections in the 1977 legislative session. He championed legislation to support and promote equal representation of Oregonians with disabilities, and also sponsored laws requiring interest to be paid to Oregonians for tax and insurance reserves. Blaine passed away this year on January 3rd, surrounded by his family, survived by his children, Judith, Bob, and Scott, his grandchildren, Sydney, Will, Miles, Brianna, Spencer, and Turner, his great-grandson, Huck, his sister, Marianne McPherson, and as well as many nieces and nephews. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify today. Senate Concurrent Resolution 8 passed through the Senate unanimously, and I look forward to working with you to honor the life and legacy of Blaine Whipple by passing this resolution through the House chamber. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions regarding Blaine Whipple? I think we all recognize that name.
So. When did he go? When did he pass?
January.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Great, wonderful.
Thank you very much for coming and bringing this. Anybody else who wishes to offer testimony on SCR 8A? Seeing none? I'll close the public hearing. And I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 494.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Senate Bill 494 permits the Oregon Department of Transportation to renew or replace out-of-state driver's license for a service member who is physically outside of the state of Oregon without a photograph.
Okay.
There is no revenue impact, minimal fiscal impact, and there's no subsequent referral.
I think we have one person who wishes to testify. Of course, you could testify on other things, too, if you wanted, but...
I think we should get grueling questions.
Grueling questions for Amy, yeah. Welcome.
Chair Lively and members of the committee, Amy Joyce from the Department of Transportation. Thank you for that warm welcome. This is Senator Bates's bill, but they asked me to come and testify and provide some information about what the bill does and a little bit of background. So the bill really is quite simple. It adds to existing statutory authority for DMV to issue what's called a valid without photo driver license. This is, as it would appear from the name, a license that gets issued without a photograph on it. The statute is very prescriptive. It is allowed only for religious purposes or for folks who have facial scarring. Mm. So the bill proposes to add a third group of folks, and that is active duty military people who are serving outside of the United States. This came to Senator Bates as a constituent issue. DMV worked, and my office, White, worked diligently with Senator Bates's office, but there's simply a statutory prohibition and there is no leeway. So the bill would add that in and allow for folks to get this driver license in this instance, and that's simply what the bill does.
Thank you. Questions? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm deployed to Afghanistan, and my license expires. So I contact the Department of Motor Vehicles. They send me a license, and then how long do I have when I come back to get my picture on?
Chair Lively and Representative Esquivel, the valid without photo driver license is valid for the full 8 years like a regular driver license. If the person chooses, when they return, they can come in for a replacement and get the photo put on it. That's at the person's election, and they would, you know, pay for a replacement license just as anyone else would.
Other questions? Okay. Didn't sound like it. I don't know why we're going to let you off that easy, Amy, but here's we are. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Chair.
Sure.
We could ask her how the Giants are doing.
We could, all right. That may not be germane to this bill, but we could ask her that. Anybody else who wishes to offer testimony on Senate Bill 494? Okay. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 494. Open the public hearing on Senate Bill 253A.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Senate Bill 253A makes certain veterans and service members.
Sorry, Senator.
Okay, I'm
done. Didn't even, you want to speak a few? Come on. You're over here, so let's hear. Now,
wait a minute. He's got the votes for it. Does he want to gamble now?
I'm pretty good at shooting myself in the foot here. So.
Yes, thank you. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me. This will just take a second. I'm sorry.
Let me just open the hearing on that. Okay. Since I closed it, so I'll reopen the hearing on Senate Bill 494.
For the record, I'm Alan Bates, State Senator, District 3, down in Jackson County. I'm sorry Julie isn't here. This is really her bill. We got a call about a year ago from an F-18 pilot saying he couldn't drive in Oregon, basically. And I thought, gee, that's funny. I think we can fly F-18s off the deck of a carrier, but he can't drive in Oregon. And what happened was that for many people who were serving from Oregon who are active duty overseas, they've been gone for years. To get a driver's license, they have to come back and get a picture taken. Well, they use their military ID for what they need. And we can issue driver's license in the state without a picture if you have a disfigurement or for religious reasons you don't want to have your picture taken. So all we did was change one word and allowed active military people to have a driver's license in Oregon issued to them without them actually coming here and having their picture taken. It just saves them time and trouble, and sometimes they can't get back. He's been overseas for over a year. And his duty station right now, I think, is down in Florida. So it's an easy fix. I don't think anybody's opposed to it, and it helps out our active duty personnel. And they don't need it for ID. When they get back in the state, they'll get a regular license, get an ID at that time. So I hope I didn't lose any votes.
No.
Okay.
So it just applies for renewal. So their license is due to expire, so they either, maybe they could do it online, I'm not sure, but at least apply just to renew it because it's still valid at that
point. It's just the renewal is all. Yeah. That's all it is. Okay.
Okay. Other questions for the senator? Doesn't look like it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your time. Sorry.
Certainly. Thank you. Okay. So I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 494 again. And so we have... Senate Bill 253A is still open. I never closed it.
Still open.
Okay.
It makes certain veterans and service members' personal identifiable information is exempt from disclosure pursuant to public records requests when obtained and kept by the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs in the performance of its functions.
We have one person, Andy Smith, signed up to testify. I don't see any other people out there, so you would probably be the only one who signed up to testify. But
so I have, what, 2
welcome.
Hours?
Huh?
Is your chair about 2 hours then? Is that
it'll be up to the committee. We'll have to vote partway through this to see how that works.
I don't think so, Annie.
Oh, it doesn't sound like it, maybe.
Uh, Good afternoon, Chair Lively, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Andy Smith with the Association of Oregon Counties. And on behalf of AOC, I'm here to testify in support of Senate Bill 453. So the reason I wanted to get some items on the record, I don't think there's been too much concern about this bill, but wanted to give some context to it so you understand the importance of it from our perspective. As all of you know, we are in a time when the public is expecting more disclosure, more sunshine, and certainly that's the direction that we're headed in. This bill, as you know, would go in the other direction. It would provide more privacy for our vets, but one that we think is warranted. And so the context I wanted to give is that really the issue underlying this bill, and in context what's related to our work at AOC and with ODVA, is one of trust. So it's a trust has both kind of a negative side, and there's some protection going with that I think this bill is related to. The negative side is that people would abuse this access to public information to our veterans. One arena that is alive and well is that of pension poaching, and that would third parties would come in and request this as a public record, get the names of these veterans, and then continue a pattern of essentially a fraud. And this might be with oftentimes a senior, maybe a survivor, that really wouldn't know, essentially conduct fraud and take benefits away from veterans. So that is not a small problem nationally, and it's certainly happening in Oregon. So that would prevent some of this. They can get just a huge list of names and numbers and kind of do an exercise of kind of phishing or reach, you know, trying to get vulnerable veterans or survivors, spouses, take their money is really what's happening with that. The positive side, you know, this is an area that in terms of veterans, this has been a long-term issue, but that's one of trust. When our veterans trusting our CVSOs, are they trusting the state to really help them, whether that's applying for benefits, whether it be health care, whether it be housing, whether it be the disability type claim. And we do live in an era when that's always a problem. In other words, that the vets trusting the government and officials to help them. And I think recently the choice card issue has not helped. I don't know if you've tracked that, but they were trying to help in terms of access, but they had some really kind of crazy rules about 40 miles and as the crow flies. The federal VA sent out all these cards, and at the end of the day, very few vets qualified for expanded health care access. And on top of that, it was very confusing how they did that. And so that is a pattern that kind of happens nationally. So we do need a tool like this, and this is kind of a tandem bill. We do want information to go from DMV, from DHS, from OHA, and you had a bill 2230, which had to deal with OHA, for OHA to get that information, but it's very limited, as you may remember. It's just the name and the address, but that does give our state partners and our local CVSOs a chance to at least be aware of where these veterans are and conduct, again, build some trust. But what this bill does, you know, very simply, I'm sure you understand, is needed in the sense that the pension poaching and just the feeling that veterans might have of, you know, vulnerability, that this information is out there, you know, about them. So I think it's important for that reason and part of a larger relationship we have with our veteran community around trust. So thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Anybody have any questions? It's frustrating just even to hear about pension poaching and those things, but they do happen, unfortunately. So,
quick question, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Representative Huffman.
Andy, which bill are you testifying on again?
Senate Bill 453.
So,
did I say 253?
Yeah, 253.
Well, I'm getting clarification here. Is it 453 or 253?
It's 253.
It is 253. Because I think you said 453, so I just wanted to.
Thank you.
I wanted it right on the record for you.
Mr. Chair, Representative Huffman, it is 253
okay.
Wednesday.
Thank you. Well, I thought it applied to this bill. I read it, but I thought, well, maybe there's two just alike.
I thought I heard that, too, and I thought maybe I heard it wrong.
Thank you,
Representative. I thought it might be good to.
I wish I could say it was a trap to see if you were listening, but it wasn't.
It wasn't.
It's my mistake.
Nice if you had been, though. Well, thank you. Anybody have any other questions? Okay, thanks for testifying.
Thank you.
Anybody else? I don't see anybody else out there. Okay. I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 253A. And I'm going to open hearing on Senate Joint Memorial 11.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Senate Joint Memorial 11 comes on behalf of Senator Mona Sanderson. It urges Congress to improve the delivery of care to rural veterans. Passing unanimously out of the Senate, there is no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
It doesn't look like there's anybody here to testify. Would you like to testify?
Just say, good bill should pass. Okay. It's not bill, it's a
thank you.
Good memorial should pass.
That's right. Good memorial should pass. Anybody have
good
any
good memorial should
okay.
pass.
Okay. Hearing no testimony, I'll
close. Well, would you like to present?
Hearing on that. So, that's our hearings agenda for today.
I'm good.
So, previously, we've been talking about priorities. Oh, let me, before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about Senate Bill 87, which is on its way over to us, and we're getting an enormous amount of interest in Senate Bill 87. So my intent is that we're not going to presuppose anything about the bill other than we're going to have a hearing and invite as many people as want to testify in a hearing to see if we can get a grasp of what all the issues, because there's pretty strong feelings, it appears, on several sides of this particular issue, and then after the hearing we can decide about how we want to move forward or not. We appreciate Representative Huffman's history with that particular issue, and so, but I want to make sure that we get a chance for anybody that wants to provide some testimony regarding the bill and or the dash threes that were adopted in the Senate to get the chance to share those with us before we...
Well, we've been trying this.
Mr. Chair?
No, go right ahead.
I think possibly my understanding is one of the greatest challenges right now is Boley's interpretation of the bill and legislative intent and writing the rules around it. And the rules may have gone too far. I was visiting with Andy yesterday, and I said it was never my intention. Can't speak for the rest of the legislature, but I know, you know, if if anybody writing rules had bothered to go back to listen to testimony from the committee, it was never the intent to require an employer, prospective employer, to interview all veterans. That was never the intent. But there needed to be some balance, because unless you met really strict criteria that was spelled out in the software word search program that they sorted through applications and resumes, that you'd never get an interview, particularly with, not exclusively, but a public employer often was the challenge. But, you know, I had delivered testimony about a constituent that I knew personally was probably overly qualified, heavily qualified for a job, and DAS was the acting as the employer for the small agency, and the veteran couldn't get a interview, even though between military and personal work history over three decades, couldn't even get an interview because the criteria for the job description was ridiculously narrow for what they needed. What they actually needed was somebody with common sense, speaking skills, you know, self-management, you know, and the guy couldn't even get a... So that experience was on the record. In the next biennium, I think it was, after we made the first attempt to do something probably in 2011, then I think that was in 13 or 14, I'm not sure, I've lost track. It just doesn't seem like brain surgery.
Ultimately, the bill doesn't address, though, the criteria. It only addresses how a person, I want to go back to, because I've, over the years, know that at times criteria has been very narrowly written. In order, and I won't just pick on public agencies, because I know in the private sector we did this a few times, to really be pointed towards a certain person or a very limited field of people to apply for the job. And this bill doesn't go into how that's written, it only goes into how it's applied. Because I'm trying to understand from a standpoint of the problem, we're not, this bill doesn't provide direction as to the criteria that they have to be considered under, it only that they have to be considered if they meet minimum requirements, doesn't it?
Representative Huffman and Representative Boone and I have been on this committee for quite some time, and the biggest, and this is just my opinion, I'm not speaking for them, the biggest abusers of this system to help veterans is state government, bar none. The private sector has been excellent, but the biggest abuser of veterans, closing the door, and I don't know if it's a territorial thing with these people or if it's a, gee, I don't care what the legislature does, I'm going to make my own rule type deal. I don't know what it is, but there's something wrong with our system in the state. When we've gone through this now, I bet 6 years at least, wouldn't you think, Deb?
We do hear it often.
Yeah.
And we, I mean, like know, the Groundhog National Day. The National Guard came and testified a couple of biennia back, saying exactly what Representative Escobar said, that, you know, when they are working with veterans on reentry, government is some of the most challenging to get interviews with. So that's what we were trying to address. And then to complicate that, for a few of us, has been, you know, a bill from last week that was passed to ban the box and require, or it would strongly encourage folks that had been convicted of a felony to get a interview. I'm concerned that if we don't find that balance point, that we might actually be elevating. And I'm all about reentry, whether it's somebody convicted of a felony and did time, you know, they need to be employed and reentered into society also. But I'm not in favor of elevating them above a qualified veteran. So we just need to find the balance.
Okay. I probably came in right at the right time. Sorry, I was late.
They told me not to recognize you.
Okay, that's probably smart, because I might say something that might.
No, go right ahead. We're talking about Senate Bill 87, and we're going to have a hearing first and just try to get all the sides.
So I don't disagree that 87 needs a fix, and I think what you just heard, I mean, the original underlying bill, right, that was a bill, I mean, I think I carried that bill on the floor even in 2011, and but I do have a problem with some of our local electeds who have made this sort of ban the box thing their battle cry, sending their lobbyists here to come and undo something for veterans. When they are truly, while they might technically be different, create the same parallel outcome, which is a civil right of action, which is why they're here with Senate Bill 87 trying to fix that, and yet we've just opened up with the ban on the box another civil right of action. So supplanting convicts for veterans doesn't feel good to me, and so right now I'm going to be until there's a fix on the 3025, I'll just put it on the record. I'm not interested in supplanting, so I'm going to be a no on 87 for that reason.
The changes, you mean?
The changes,
right.
Because I won't see us change that for veterans and restrict, and you know, Senate Bill 87, as I understand it, sort of limits how many people, even in the qualified pool, get an interview. But you know, now convict can sue the city of Portland, or you know, under 3025, or they can, you know, somebody sue Multnomah County. When some of the folks who are elected in those, particularly those communities, have been really publicly vocal about supporting 3025 or something like that. And I don't know that they understand that there's a parallel problem, and I think if we hold back on Senate Bill 87, that will help them get the message, and maybe they will come push on their elected leaders down here to fix 3025. And so I am strongly supportive of reentry. You heard me say it on the floor, that there were bills we didn't pass that I think were better than ban the box, and so I'm committed to seeing both of them be fixed, but not one over the other.
Okay. So one of the things I just, before you say, if there's other people, there's people that you think we need to hear or would like to be heard, make sure you let Brian know ahead of time so we can just make sure they get invited or we set the time that's most convenient so they can do that. Because we don't have a heavy schedule, and so we can be a little flexible in when we do it, because I would like to do it once from a standpoint of having
getting it on the record.
People here and getting all that stuff on the record, so then we can decide how to proceed. Representative Escobar.
Well, we can only pass laws, and we know what the intent was for the law, and we know the spirit of the law. But it's up to the department heads, who is answerable to their governor. And our governor is actually where the buck stops. If we continue to have a problem in these departments, where's the leadership to go in and fix the problem? That's where I come from, because it doesn't matter who's the governor, but they've got to go in and lead and tell people, okay, this is what we're going to do, and you will adhere to it. So until that happens, it's kind of frustrating.
I picked up that it might just be a little frustrating. I can pick up on that.
You're very perceptive, Mr. Chair.
And the emails and things I've been getting kind of led me to that, too. So, we'll have the conversation. I'm big on let's have an open conversation about it, and then we'll talk about it after we've had that, hear all the things, and see if there's something that we can do that we all agree on. Yeah. And that's all I told the speaker we would do, we just have the conversations and see that there's no presuppose what we're going to do with that bill here at this time. So I think we're on the same page there. And so, okay. So the other thing is we sent out the list based on our conversations and people's sheets on priorities. And you all received them. You can see in the one just goes through ranked, how they were ranked, right. And the other one goes through, it just shows you where the votes broke down. I didn't know if people had other conversations you want to make about that.
I haven't had a chance to look at that, I'm sorry.
I did, but I can't, for some reason,
buried
I can't
under your 941 emails in your inbox, let me tell you.
Who what?
I said if you got it in an email, it's buried under all those 941 emails.
Yes, you did
emails.
Get it. That representative.
Along with the 4,000 emails.
Yes, unfortunately.
It's very.
Because I had to
crawl out from as I was coming.
From Rep Lively.
There you go.
As I was coming, I had to ask too, because though I knew it had gone out, but it was buried in mine just like it was buried in
yes. Other. And did it come from you or did
it came from me. Andrew sent it out.
Yesterday at 11:58.
Yeah. Okay, let me go.
Through. So but from Brian then or your address?
From my address.
Your address, okay.
Yeah. I'll try to search that. So take a look at that. So here's what my intention will be. Unless you have strong, once you look at that, how they actually came out, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on, and we actually broke them down by Veterans Bill, Resiliency, just so they didn't all get lost, and something that was from a resiliency standpoint, high importance, got lost simply because it couldn't weigh against the others in the task force bills. So before Thursday, look at that and provide any feedback you wish on that. So the intent would be I would just send this with some comments from us, saying the process we went through and here's the priorities as we have agreed, the consensus has been reached, and we'd appreciate that being considered as part of the conversation about what does move forward or doesn't move forward, and not add a lot more to it than that. Unless people feel strong.
I found it.
Did you find it?
I did. It said truly buried under an avalanche of emails.
Yes, there has been a few.
I just can't get on the internet. I don't know what the deal is.
It's it has to do with first name, I heard, Deb. I'm not sure. It periodically shifts on the letters, and the D's are up today.
How did these get ranked then? And they were ranked based on the most of us, or they had the highest?
The conversations we had and the ones how people, because people marked their, did, and that's how they got
ranked. Okay.
That is just bizarre.
And did we think, though, that so there's four task force bills that show on here as being ranked? I mean, so do we think that there's a way in, is there, I guess the question would be, one, is there a relating clause on any of those that lets us do sort of the omnibus task force and combining those?
Because I think we can still, we can talk about that a little bit. Brian and I can talk about that a little bit and see if we think there's in there, so we can add that to the list of doing it, because I remember your suggestion, especially given the fiscals that somehow are driving these.
And there's four of them, and we're going to bring the same people out. So I think that if we have the right relating to clause, that would be helpful. If we don't, then my request would be that, at least on those four bills, and Representative Evans isn't here to put his input in, but if there's not a single unified relating to clause that would let us combine the four, that we ask the speaker for a priority bill, because she can still do those, send it down to rules with sort of the four concepts, including but not limited to language, because other things might come out of that, and then have one sort of bill that comes forward.
Is the relating
One task force bill?
Yes.
Yeah.
With the tasks.
Unless we
all
can, unless one of those has the relating to clause that lets us. But if they're too narrow, we're not going to be able to mash them together.
We can ask that question and see what seems to be the most likely to do with that. Because I don't disagree.
Because then we can reevaluate the fiscal and then.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to answer that before next time too, just to see if we can figure that out. We could just do it ourselves without asking anybody any legal advice, but it might be better if we What do you
somewhere
think?
There's certified smarty pants in the building.
Yeah, it's just been whether they want to help us or not.
That's right.
Mr. Chair, repairs.
Would you?
I can get someone relating clauses and talk to LC about.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping you could do to see.
Options for
options.
Combining,
yeah.
Right.
That would be helpful.
Because there will, just like with some of the other things we've looked at, they'll be able to come back and say, this is what you want to do, here are your options.
Here's your options. Okay. Yep. That seems to be the preference on that.
And then are we going to be writing one letter to Ways and Means with our prioritized mm-hmm. list? Okay. As a committee?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'll have my own secret letter that will go down, but
well,
you
me
too.
Yeah.
Might be one of those party letters. That
right. But, no, I would prefer it just come from the whole committee. So yeah. We'll draft something else.
Okay.
I'll draft something before next Thursday, too, to have you look at, just so we can try to move this forward.
Well, and some of us have already written to them with,
yes.
And mine are, you know, the same.
Yeah.
Rankings on these. Not all of them in my letter, but. Yeah.
And I don't see the revenue ones. Are these mixed in
oh,
there?
Oh, no, they're not. That's right.
There's two different attachments.
I'm
oh, I see.
Word
I
doc.
See what you're saying. The veterans.
These are all down on Ways and Means, but we also prioritize the revenue bills, I think.
I don't think
too.
We sent. I didn't tell him. That's my fault. I didn't
are we
going
to wait till we get the Senate bills, too? Because there are some Senate bills coming over.
It's too late.
Let the Senate figure out their own
bills.
They're mine.
They're hers. See, I knew that's what it was. So
they're
we can,
mine.
We can have that discussion too, but yeah. We're not going to wait on these until that point. But we can
yeah.
Certainly have that discussion.
Deb, you fight your own. No.
Yeah. That's, okay. Thank you.
No, actually, one is the one you want too.
Okay.
You know, one point I would like to make, if everybody agreed in drafting the letter, is there. We passed a lot of potentially good programs.
Yes.
But ODVA would be responsible for at least a couple of them with new programs. And I just want to make sure that, and if I need to draft a letter on my own because I'm not no. saying what the rest of you feel, I get it. But I just wanted to throw this out. For me, I've always championed county veteran services officer programs and make sure that we're passing at least the needed money that counties need to pass through and help support the program. So I wouldn't want a new position or program to supplant
yeah.
Because I used to have ODVA's budget in a subcommittee, and so I became very familiar with it and some of the challenges. And in 2009, as we were struggling financially, of course, there were cuts to the CVSO program and other, can't remember the name of the fund that they used to, an emergency fund that it gets depleted on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of demand for programs they already have, and I just get frustrated every session when we come into this building and there's a shiny new program that people are asking us to support, and it's like, but is it gonna take away from programs that we really, really, I mean, are a foundational program like the CVSO program, so.
I think that's a great point, and I would, hopefully the group would agree that we would say that, because that's exactly, we don't wanna do that. We don't wanna take away from things that are working. While we appreciate the new programs are valid and bring some great mm-hmm. services, but we can't back up, I don't think, on services that are already there.
The follow-up to that for me is, and I don't know where I guess we could probably go chase it, but from ODVA, but it'd be interesting to see, like in the last four biennia, the one previous to the, you know, market crashing, and then, you know, the difficult 2009 session, and then the progression out of that recession, although I still think we're in tough sure. financial times, but in some ways, but to be able to actually see, did the number move? And if we've really sort of been fixed and frozen at ODVA over a period of time, as the overall general fund has increased by more than $4 billion since I've been here, if a proportional amount of funding hasn't happened in ODVA, that's a whole different problem, because you can keep maintaining current programs, but if the numbers aren't moving and barely keeping current service level going, then there really is no net new because we're not prioritizing that as part of our spending. And so it would be interesting to see what sort of the 7.9 to, you know, adopt or propose 15-17 looks like and carry that out. And are we actually getting even the core mission done? And I would argue, without even looking at those numbers, just based on what I know about the organization, that the answer is no. And it really is a lack of prioritization in the ways and means process. And you can have voices like John's down there, but if the rest of the Ways and Means Committee isn't making that determination and think that that's important, we can sit here and run these policy bills down to Ways and Means all day long, and they have a fiscal, we're not going to get net new. And I just think we're not getting net new.
That's true.
Yes.
I think, though,
I apologize, I have to go testify.
In this whole state, as long as we continue on allowing people to come in with their budget, say, I need this plus 10%, we'll not gain a thing. Right. We need to have people come in and saying, I'm going to do this program, I need this money, I'm going to do this program, I need this money, I'm going to do this, and I need this amount of money. We give them the money, and then the accountability is, in 2 years, how did you accomplish that? But until we get to that point, we're just running up the flagpole.
You may be surprised, Representative, but I do agree with you.
Are we on backboarding?
Get the paddles out.
I'm not necessarily a free spender. I think there should be accountability.
Adjourn us? You were going to walk out. The vice chair could adjourn us.
Yeah, but adjourn.
If we want to keep discussing it.
Unless you want to.
Okay.
Do you want to? Unless you want to.
Okay.
Do you want to?
There's keep discussing it.